The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. MyBills.ie. Help save time with bill payment online for free. Unpost. Do more. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. You can pay over 100 different bills free at the post office. Unpost. Do more.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, pictures of Lorraine Scott are in nearly every paper today, and the latest revelations are that her business was in fact not in trouble. Now, this is Mick Jagger's partner, I suppose, who sadly took her own life. Her representative has made his first public comment since her death, saying the stories about her business troubles were in fact highly misleading and inaccurate. Meanwhile, the relationship with Mick Jagger has also come under renewed scrutiny, as a close friend told a celebrity website that she was depressed about her personal life and believed that the star was distancing himself. But then other papers today are saying he was planning on giving up his entire lifestyle, nomadic lifestyle in particular, to settle down with her. Well, every paper seems to have a different story. One says her brother is now moving the funeral to LA at the request of a heartbroken Mick Jagger. And another says her sister is banned from the funeral. All will not be smooth or well there. I suppose these are the kinds of things that bring out vulnerabilities and fights and dreadful things in families. Anyway, moving on to privacy. Oh God, there seems to be a certain focus on privacy today, but privacy really, really, really does matter. We're going to look at two specific areas, possibly more, about what's going to happen to Microsoft very shortly, and your life, in other words, and what you have on your computer, and what happens with your Gmail, and how much information is out there about you, and how much is private, and how much isn't. And it seems to me that the more you read about it, the less privacy that you have. You may as well throw your hat at it and write everything up on the wall. I'm joined by Adrian Weckner, who's technical editor with the Irish Independent. Which will you start with, the Microsoft or the... We'll start with Microsoft.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So what you're talking about basically is Microsoft Windows XP, which is the operating system, the thing you see when you turn your computer on for about 1 in 10 people in Ireland.
It's how old is it?
13 years old.
That's ancient, I gather.
So it was launched in 2001, but quite a few computers, not just old PCs sitting in your home, but also quite a lot of computers in government, quite a lot of computers in business. For example, most of the ATM machines in Ireland and globally are still attached to Windows XP. The reason that this is significant, the reason we're talking about it, is because Microsoft next month, April the 8th, 3 weeks' time, said it's going to cut off security support for Windows XP. In other words, when typically Microsoft, as the biggest computer operating system in the world, would release security patches. So, you know,
explain to people what that is. Well, and to me, by the way.
So basically, there are a lot of viruses and malware and hackers out there. And the operating system they typically go after is Microsoft Windows. And the operating system they go after particularly is Windows XP, because it's the oldest, it's the weakest, and it's the most vulnerable. So Microsoft has to keep issuing new security patches to fix bugs and holes and everything else. From April the 8th, they're not going to do that anymore, which means that if your computer has Windows XP, you will start to see an increase in viruses, in malware.
What can you
potentially
do?
Well, there are a couple of things to do. First of all, you can upgrade your operating system to either Windows 7 or Windows 8.
How do you do that?
Well, you can either buy a new computer, a laptop or a PC, or you could actually buy the Windows 7 or Windows 8 online or on a DVD. It costs probably between €80 and €100. Now, this actually is a problem. Last month the government had to shell out over €3 million because the government hasn't upgraded its own computers from Windows XP to Windows 7. The issue here basically is, will people actually get hit by viruses and hacking attacks?
And the answer and is they will. Probably yes.
No, they there's absolutely no question about it. To be fair to Microsoft, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, why are Microsoft doing this? Why can't they just leave well enough alone? To be fair to Microsoft, they've been warning about this for 5 years. They've actually had a date in mind for 5 years, and they've been telling people again and again. simply because from their perspective, it's a very old operating system. It costs more for them to actually, you know, to maintain it and to actually keep issuing security patches for it. Since Microsoft XP was launched, it has launched three new operating systems. So the most common thing that you will see on your computer, if you have a normal computer, is probably Windows 7. When you turn your computer, you're on, that's what you see, Windows 7. That's about half of the computers in Ireland. After that, you would be, it's a long drop off to the next most popular operating systems, which would be a combination of Windows XP or Apple Mac OS X or the newest one, which is Windows 8. But they would all be hovering at around 10% of the market in Ireland. So the message here, you're gonna hear an awful lot more about this over the next 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, are you still using Windows XP? Here's what you can do.
It's going to cost you money, first of all.
It probably will cost you money, yeah. Absolutely. Now, you know, there are a few common responses. For example, what if my computer, what if I'm not using it to access the internet?
Yeah.
Now, you're probably safer if that's the case. It's very unusual, though. There are very few computers or PCs that don't access the internet. Even the ATM, the bank ATMs, most of them are connected to Windows XP. And what the banks say typically is, no, no, don't worry, because they're insulated from the internet. They don't use the internet in the same way, for example, as ordinary PCs,
right.
PCs do. But somewhere down the line, they are actually connected to systems that do access the internet. So there is actually a concern. There is a genuine concern there. Now, Microsoft, you know, happily for them, offer a premium security service for those who are still using XP, for businesses, governments, etc.
Yeah.
And that's what big enterprises are doing at the moment. But for the rest of us, you really should get out of Microsoft Windows XP.
And if you buy one of the more up-to-date ones,
yep,
and put it on the computer, does that kill off Windows XP?
Well, it replaces one, it switches one for the other.
Does it?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
it's not lurking behind there.
No, if you have a Dell computer, for example, and it was using Windows XP and you got rid of Windows XP and replaced it with Windows 7, for example, you now have Windows 7 and you don't have Windows XP anymore. Windows XP is now completely gone.
Right. Now, just on the question of emails. The whole thing about Google and Gmail and Yahoo. Let me start from another position. There was quite a lot of coverage during the week on Liveline about people getting emails about which there were suspicions, or people getting emails about which there weren't suspicions. Do we have the clip of the? Yeah, it was this woman. She got an email, which she opened. She didn't open. It wasn't an attachment that she opened. I know we're warned about attachments. And strange activity started on her own computer. And she smelled a rat of some sort. And there was somebody attempting to take 80,000, she was obviously a businesswoman, to take 80,000 out of her account in her online banking. Mm. And it looks like they got the access through her email. I haven't a clue how they did it, but we'll have a listen to what she said.
We got them in before Christmas. Now, we got one in from the company's house, and we also got one from the Revenue in the UK. Revenue in the UK we just wouldn't deal with. So when I got one in saying that there was a complaint against the company, it was in a zip file, went to open it, couldn't open it, and then I left it for maybe an hour or so, tried to do my banking online, and couldn't get in. It just kept refreshing, which would be extremely unusual. So eventually when I got in, the first thing I always do is check my payments log, and I saw that there was four payments totaling over £80,000 that they were trying to make. Three of them were in the same name and one was from a company. So immediately I cancelled them because they hadn't gone through, and I got in contact with the bank, who then put me onto the fraud squad. They got on to me. They wanted me to send the virus to them. What they had done is actually loaded a Trojan virus onto the system when I tried to open it. From there, then, they just went in and created beneficiaries on my account. and tried to transfer monies abroad to Eastern European countries. Luckily enough, I copped it in time and I was able to cancel them, but it happens very easily. Now, I have to say the bank were very quick, but they put me onto the fraud squad then and I had to send all the information to them along with attachments of the emails, and they were Trojans. Don't ask me how they do it, but once the Trojan gets in, about an hour after I had tried to open it, the virus has obviously taken hold. So when I go to access my bank details, it was just I went to put in everything and it just kept refreshing and refreshing.
Extraordinary story. I mean, she was really quick off the mark, wasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things to note there off the bat. The first, from a reassuring point of view, she's absolutely right. In instances like that, which are actually still quite rare, your bank or your financial institution, the default position in Ireland is to cover you and cover your losses. It's rarely an uphill battle in that respect,
right,
for the victim. One of the questions here is how they get your email address, or
why they're targeting you particularly.
There's a number of ways for a start that they get your email address. That was an extreme example. They could try other things, a lot of other common things. But the way they get your email address is through a number of ways. First of all, straightforward theft. For example, last October, November. A company in Clare called Loyalty Build, which did business for SuperValu and other companies. It was the victim of a hacking attack where almost 100,000 credit and debit card details were taken, but over 1 million personal details, such as email addresses and physical addresses, were also taken. Now, that is not that unusual. One of the biggest software companies on the internet, a company called Adobe, had a hacking attack last year where 150 million email addresses were taken.
So how do you protect yourself?
Well, it's very, very difficult, because even legitimate companies with whom you're doing business are the subject of attacks. We know from the Irish Computer Society here in Ireland that one in two, half of all Irish companies, have suffered a data breach. Now, that's not the same necessarily as a hacking attack. That could be somebody emailing the wrong details or the wrong email addresses somewhere. But it does mean that that kind of information, is actually getting out there. What happens when email addresses like that escape is that inevitably they find their way into databases which are bought and sold and eventually end up in the hands of somebody who sits basically behind a computer and sends out 1 million or 3 million or 10 million or maybe only 5,000 attempts to either implant a virus.
How do you protect yourself? What is the best one?
Well, there are a couple of ways. First of all, you should use a little bit of common sense. Generally speaking, most of us know by now that if it's a bank, if it's a hospital, if it's anything sensitive like that, they almost never communicate any significant information or request any interaction over email. It's always bare minimum over the phone, but usually actually in person. So don't open especially attachments. In other words, the little paperclip sign that appears on your email, just don't open them if you don't know who it's from. The other thing is, don't be gullible. If, for example, you've recently gone onto social media such as Facebook or Twitter or whatever, sometimes you will see a message directed, a direct message or a message directed to you, which will say something typically like, "Oh my God, I can't believe they have said this about you." And there will be a link to a website. That's an absolute classic trap. What happens is you click on the link, it'll do a number of things. It may be it may just implant something in your machine. It may just propagate itself among all of your other contacts to keep the chain going. So, use a little bit of common sense as well, and don't be too gullible. The last thing is, watch what websites you visit. You're very rarely going to get a virus or, harvest something down into your own machine that will, compromise your computer by visiting a reputable website. But when you start going off into odd websites or websites with odd domain names, you become a lot more vulnerable then.
It's kind of scary, isn't it? We're all very, it seems to me, I've got very relaxed about things. We buy online, we go online, we do the whole lot. One of the articles that I was reading during the week, you aren't paying in money. This is, now they're talking about free email, Gmail. You aren't paying in money, but in years and years of the most personal data. What happens to this data in years to come, licence the stars? Until then, they, if it's Gmail, I'm just picking Gmail in particular, they have a permanent copy of everything you've ever emailed or received as an email. And whatever private information you've handed over to Google, you can never get back. And you don't know what can be done with the private information now or in 10 years' time. I mean, people are giving up huge amount of privacy without thinking it through.
There's a balance between privacy and convenience. Mostly the reason that people, for example, you mentioned Google, that's a brilliant example. Google has a number of services, Gmail, Google Search, YouTube and others. And typically when you log in or when you, say, for example, create a Gmail account, that keeps you logged in for your Google search and for your YouTube, which means that the profile that's being built up upon you is based not only on your Gmail profile and what you do there, but it's also based on what you search for example, right? Now, there are ways to control this.
Are there?
Oh, absolutely. For example, you can turn off a certain type of ads in Google. If you go into, there's a bit at the bottom of the Google page which says privacy settings. If you click on that and you click on a further tab, which is ad settings, you can actually take an awful lot of control back over what kind of ads are delivered to you. There are other things you can do. If you're a Gmail user, for example, instead of using that normally along with all of the other your other internet activity at any one moment, you can open what they call is a new tab. In other words, when you're sitting there in front of your web browser, you can open a new window essentially, but you can make that window private, okay, as opposed to public. In other words, when you're using Gmail within this private window, it's insulated from the data collection that Google will use in the rest of a search. But like we're still probably at the early stages of this kind of thing. For example, a couple of months ago, Google was awarded a patent. For eye ad tracking technology. In other words, a patent that would, on technology it's working on, to actually connect what your eyeball is looking at for advertisers.
What?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This eye tracking technology is not, it's not a new thing. This has been actually in development for quite a bit of time. A lot of supermarkets, for example, that you go into are trialing technology which will actually detect which products and items you're looking at on the shelf, which from a supermarket's point of view, you could see is very, very valuable information. I mean, you've got companies now like Amazon, by far the biggest retailer in the world, which is now trialing a system whereby it knows your purchase preferences so well based on your previous activity that it is ordering products for you, shipping them to the nearest delivery centre because it's 80% sure that you'll buy it.
It knows I'm going to do it
That's
next
right.
week.
So it sends it before you buy it. Yeah. So this is the area we're moving into. I mean, these are all fine margins, but these are the area you're... So if you're not paying for something, you probably, to a lesser or greater extent, are the product.
Right. Yeah, you're being bought in a sense or being sold one way or the other. Just before you go... Did you name a blocker that you would recommend? An antivirus?
An antivirus, you could look at AVG is a free solution. It's pretty good. You could look at McAfee as well. If you want to block ads from your normal internet browsing, AdBlock Plus is a great way, solution there.
Okay, God, this thing, it changes from week to week, doesn't it? Anyway, Adrian, thank you very much indeed. That was Adrian Weckler. We'll take a break.
1850 715 150.